Hey, what's up? It's Ben Greenfield. I'm wearing my sunglasses. I'm wearing my sunglasses in the morning because I like to use red light in the morning. I've been preparing myself for what's called an RKC kettlebell certification. So my morning routine is like one of those badass Russian dudes or somebody from an Eastern Bloc country where at least this is the way I fantasize that it works over there. I go out for about a half hour in the morning. I swing my kettlebells all over the place, and then I go jump in the cold pool, and I feel amazing. And then I put my sunglasses on, and I stand next to these like infrared light panels that heat my body and my testicles. I don't think they do that in Russia when they're swinging the kettlebells around. But regardless, we digress.
Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor. All right, folks. Clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben.
Today's show is all about age reversing via the gut, the ultimate anti-anxiety pill, customized probiotics, and a whole lot more with billionaire entrepreneur and Viome founder Naveen Jain. I had a chance to go hang with Naveen at his pad next to Bill Gates' house in Seattle, and the dude is the real deal. And yes, he really does have a moon rock collection, and yes, he really is not like some rich entrepreneur, but he's actually a super duper smart guy who cares a lot about your poop. Yes, your poop. All right, let's do this.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show, The next revolution of agriculture is going to come from the technology and entrepreneur, where we will be able to adjust the microbiome of the soil. We'll be able to adjust the microbiome of the seed. So you got the next green revolution you're going to hear about is going to come from entrepreneurs, not from the nation states. So our microbiome actually is not only hijacking, but influencing every genes that are expressed in our human body. Seriously, this technology is so far ahead of anything in the marketplace, at least 5 years ahead of anybody.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power, speed, mobility, balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now. On the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Naveen Jain is one of the most interesting guys I have ever met. He's a billionaire entrepreneur, philanthropist, driven to solve the world's biggest challenges through innovation. And he has founded a ton of successful companies in the skyscrapers that we were surrounded by while eating dinner at the Argentinian steakhouse last night in Bellevue, Washington. It was kind of funny because Naveen, who's sitting across from me here at his mansion overlooking a lake. Is this Lake Washington?
It sure is.
Okay, overlooking Lake Washington, you were pointing out to me all these different buildings that you'd worked at from, it was a Blue Dot and TalentWise and Intellius and InfoSpace. I know now you've got Moon Express and also Viome, which is really cool. And that's something we're going to talk about today. Moon Express we'll talk about as well, because back behind me here, just a few feet away, is what I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I believe is the largest moon rock collection that exists?
Yeah, largest space rocks, including moon, Mars, and beyond.
Are you going to actually let me touch a piece of the moon later on?
Ben, if you're really nice to me, I will let you do that.
All right. I'm going to touch the moon. Naveen is really disrupting healthcare in a very, very big way. And you're going to learn a little bit more about that on today's show. But a couple other quick things about him that are very interesting. He's on the board of the XPRIZE Foundation, where he's finding a whole bunch of solutions to address global challenges in health, education, women empowerment, agriculture, and energy. He recently launched $1 million Women Safety XPRIZE to empower women around the world. He's on the board of Singularity University, which I'm personally extremely interested in when it comes to the cutting edge of longevity and anti-aging. Naveen knows just about everybody in that industry, and he himself is going to live to be, what, 200?
No, 250? At least 300.
At least 300, if you keep on sending your poop in to get analyzed, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. A ton of awards, including Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, Humanitarian Innovation Award, Albert Einstein Technology Medal, Distinguished Global Thinker Award, Most Inspiring Entrepreneur, Most Admired Serial Entrepreneur, Top 20 Entrepreneurs, Lifetime Achievement Award for Leadership in the Technology Industry. And I'm holding in my hands here, and for those of you watching the Facebook Live version of this podcast, Fast Company magazine, where Naveen was named as one of the 100 most creative people in business. So the dude is a hard charging, high achiever. You get up earlier than I do, Naveen. I think you were up this morning at what, 4:30?
4:30 it is, yeah.
Well, question of the day, why weren't you at SoulCycle with me along with your wife this morning doing the cycling workout? What were you up to?
I was actually reading all the science articles.
You were reading science. You were actually telling me about this. You have a very cool kind of system for learning. Tell me about how you learn and discover all the things that you do. What's your system?
Yeah. So one of the things is that I've started, now 7 companies, and no 2 companies that I start are in the same industry. Because my fundamental belief is that once you become good at something, You can only improve it incrementally. So you can improve it 10%, you can improve it 15%. But if you want to disrupt something 10 times or 100 times, you have to challenge the foundation of everything that experts have taken it for granted. And that can only happen when you come into an industry with absolutely no expertise. So you're able to look at it from extremely fresh perspective of what things can be, not how things are. And that to me is a clear advantage. Everyone who's listening to this Facebook Live or a podcast should really be thinking about that. What can I do to be solving these problems? And the first thing they say, well, I know nothing about this thing. And that is their biggest strength, is they know nothing about it. So they're able to come in with completely fresh perspective. So for example, when I look at healthcare or I look at the space, so Moon Express, you mentioned, Moon Express is the only company in the universe that has a permission to leave Earth orbit and land on any celestial body. That means we are the only...
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. How do you get permission to do that? I mean, you're talking like the CIA, the FBI, who owns orbit?
Well, it's interesting thing is there are, under the current treaty, International Space Treaty, a country that... So it was designed for only the nation states to go out and do the space exploration. So it was never anticipated that some private company might do it someday. So they never set up a department to say, department for approval, the mission to the moon. So you will look around every federal department. There was no department to say, here's where you go when
here's
you want
to where you
to
buy your ticket to the moon.
Here's where you go when you want to go launch a mission to the moon. So we did exactly what you suggested. We went to NSA, we went to CIA, we went to State Department, we went to every single NASA, and you can imagine every three-letter agency we went to. And they all said the same thing that, look, we can give you 10 reasons why it makes absolute, we will never grant you this permission. And even if you were to satisfy every one of our concern, we just won't say no because we can't say yes because it's not in our charter. And finally, we went to the White House, and that's where they brought all of these interdepartments, agencies, and says, we need to make this happen. And the reason that the United States has to do it is because when we go land on the moon or when we leave Earth orbit, we are flying under the U.S. flag. That means United States takes a responsibility both for what we do and also for the protection of us as a U.S. citizen and a U.S. company. So no one should be able to interfere with our operations. When we are on the moon, no country or government can essentially interfere because we are flying under the U.S. flag.
So you were talking about how you actually learn and discover, moon and space. Let's say that you want to get into moon and space. You have a system for learning. We were having lunch at an event a couple of months ago, and I think you described how you actually immerse yourself in one particular subject and become an expert in that subject. Talk about that.
So what I do is when I come into a particular field and when I want to start something, there are a couple of questions I ask myself. So I say, if I'm going to do what I'm about to do, God forbid, if I'm actually successful in doing it, would it actually move the needle? Would it actually help a billion people around the world if I'm actually successful in doing what I'm doing? If the answer is no, then I think it's too small a problem for me to attack. The second thing is I always focus on what I want the world to be, not what the world is. That means I don't look at it and saying, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? I simply focus on, do I want to fill this glass or do I not want to fill this glass? Because if I want to fill the glass, it doesn't really matter if the glass is half empty or half full. And if I don't want to fill the glass, it doesn't really matter if it's half empty or half full. So always as an entrepreneur, I focus on not what is, but what it can be. And the way I learn about something is, so I say, okay, now I'm going to go solve healthcare problem. The biggest problem facing the humanity is the exploding cost of healthcare.
Wait, I want to back it up a little bit before we talk about healthcare. I've got two loops I want to close with you.
Sure.
How, get into the nitty gritty specifics for me in terms of when we were driving over here in your car, your fast blue Ferrari, your beautiful blue Ferrari, you were talking about how you get up in the morning and you have a certain routine
And when you go to bed at night, you have a certain routine, and that routine involves immersing yourself in this one subject that you're just going to crush, that you've decided you're going to become a complete expert in. Tell me how you go about structuring your day so that you can become an expert and pivot from technology and the internet to moon and space exploration to the microbiome.
So one of the things I do is I spend the first 2 hours, so I get up around 4:30, and the first 2 hours to 3 hours in a day, I read every scientific journal, every scientific magazine. And what I do is I set up my Twitter feed for every single science magazine that's out there.
So you use Twitter?
I use Twitter to essentially aggregate all of the latest news that's coming out.
So all these magazines like Nature,
Cellular, Microbiome. Right.
Rather than reading the magazines themselves, you read those magazines' Twitter feeds, and the magazines tend to tweet out the actual research.
And that's what I go click on, and that essentially takes you to the magazine website, and then I read those articles. But it gives me a fairly good idea about what this article is about right from the tweet. Mm-hmm. And so I see, yep, that's interesting and I want to read it. Or it's uninteresting, it's not something I care about right now. But by looking at that, and then I look at some of the people who are absolute expert in that field. And what I do is then I go read probably about 20 or 30 books in that field. And the reason I never read one book is because then you essentially get biased by that person's opinion. So that expert's opinion, if you only read one book, then you more or less start to take that as a fact. By reading 30 books with 30 different authors, it allows you to aggregate the knowledge and the perspective from different people. And by reading all of that, you create your own perspective that is completely unique from anyone else, because all of these guys are looking at very, what I would say, narrow way of their own thinking and their own expertise. And by my coming from outside the field, I'm able to look at all these trees that these guys are talking about and look at this forest of what is it consist of, where are the weaknesses, what are the people that everybody agrees on, and where is the disagreements. And within the disagreements, I really, really believe something here, what he says, makes a lot more sense, and I'm going to go out and explore that.
So 4:30 a.m., you're getting up, you're reading the Twitter feeds, and these books, do you read them at the night, or do you also read those in the morning?
So normally the books, I would read them on the weekends and in the night.
Okay.
But generally on my weekends, I'm just a voracious reader. I just
Kindle or paper books?
I love paper books. I have to admit. I mean, being a tech guy, I just can't read books on
Some of the smartest guys that I know and the most highly achieved guys that I know have enormous libraries of paper books. You know, two people I was recently hanging out with, Ty Lopez, big mansion in the Beverly Hills. Every single room in that mansion has a bookshelf chock full of books. Paul Check, a fitness pioneer. You go into his house, and it must drive his wife crazy, as my wife is getting driven crazy, as my own collection explodes. It's just wall-to-wall books in a whole bunch of different areas, categorized according to certain areas. I have yet to run into many truly successful, and I guess not just successful, but people who are actually changing the industry that they're in, who don't have a voracious habit of reading a lot. That, you know, that's why when I tuck my kids to bed every night and they're pulling out their books, I don't care. I let them leave the lights on. I let them read as long as they want. They each have their own little set of blue light blocking glasses, and they read and read and read. So that's very interesting that you immerse yourself in that one subject. And of late, you have actually, like I mentioned, there was one other loop I wanted to close before I turn to your latest interest. And that is, how long will it be before we're going to be able to go to the moon on one of your ships?
Okay, so we are going to have in 6 months a first private landing on the moon.
6 months. So we're recording this September 2nd, 2017.
Yes. So, okay. So the reason I say that is that landing on the moon not only will make us the first private company to ever land on the moon, we actually become the fourth superpower. Only three superpowers have ever landed on the moon. And that just goes on to show that the next...
Like Russia, China, America.
Russia, China, and America.
And you.
And that's going to be fourth is going to be a private company. So imagine, by landing on the moon, it simply goes on to show that the next set of superpowers are going to be entrepreneurs and not the nation states, because entrepreneurs are now solving the problems that used to be solved by the nation states because it was considered impossible for a small group of people or a private company to do so, such as healthcare, education, space exploration, creating the abundance of energy, creating the abundance of food. These are all considered something the society as a whole and the government would do and will pay our taxes and let the government handle. Now, all of those problems are being handled by entrepreneurs with private resources. And the second thing is, as a private company, you can be held accountable every single day, not every election year. So, for example, when the president, Trump, banned people from certain countries from coming into America, that day there was a massive protest in New York. And every taxi driver was protesting. Uber sent the Uber drivers to the airport. That day, 200,000 people deleted Uber app from their phone. Next day, the CEO of Uber resigned from the president's council because he realized that's what his users want, right? Mm. So point is, entrepreneurs can be held accountable every single day, whereas elected official can only be held accountable every election cycle. That means you elect an idiot, you're stuck with that idiot for 4 years, whether you like that or not.
Mm. Interesting.
Right? Second, and the third thing, the really interesting thing about why entrepreneurs are going to be the next superpowers is the entrepreneurs are not really bound by the geographical boundaries. That means they find the people, the resources, wherever they are. That means people could be in China, Russia, India, Europe, Brazil, anywhere they are, you can work together to solve the problem as long as we all have the same purpose of we're going to solve this problem.
Do you think that American politics will change based on that? Do you think that we'll eventually not have like a Senate and a House and a president and will instead be run by a group of entrepreneurs?
So interestingly, what happens is the nation states continue to become irrelevant. So they may exist, but the power they may have will continue to go down because there's nothing that society actually depends on them to do. The problems that society has, such as healthcare, will get solved by some entrepreneur rethinking, reimagining that why should we have to constantly cure things? Why can't we absolutely prevent and reverse as opposed to constantly just simply suppressing the symptoms that we do today? Why do we have to have this education system which cost people $250,000 and you basically learn, but whatever you learn becomes obsolete by the time you graduate because exponential technology is making every skill obsolete every 5 to 10 years. Same thing is going to happen. It was already happening in space. Now their countries are no longer exploring space. Who is doing space? Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, us. I mean, we are the ones entrepreneurs now exploring space. And to some extent, the nation states have taken the back seat, right? So that is the kind of things that will continue to happen. When the next revolution or the next revolution of agriculture is going to come from the technology and entrepreneur, where we will be able to adjust the microbiome of the soil. We'll be able to adjust the microbiome of the seed and to be able to increase the yield. So you go, the next green revolution you're going to hear about is going to come from entrepreneurs, not from the nation states.
You're pretty into the microbiome now.
Well, that's my new company in the microbiome space on health.
All right, so were you one of those guys who was like Instagramming your own poop, or did you like have some kind of like a parasite, or how'd you get interested in the microbiome?
So, you know,
I mean, and I know like you like to predict things, so I'm wondering if this was just something you saw in these scientific magazines you were following.
Yeah, so actually it became, so as I was finishing up my moon project, and you talk about actually the moon shot. Mm-hmm. Of landing on the moon, I started to think about what should be my next moonshot. And I actually looked at both education and healthcare as the two next big problems that I believe I wanted to solve. As I started looking into both healthcare and education, turns out they were very similar problems. Both the systems people believe are not working. People believe that both the systems are broken. And it turns out, then, that neither one of them is broken. They're doing exactly what they were designed to do, except our needs today are very different than the needs were when the system was actually designed. So, for example, as I was mentioning, in our education system, education system was designed to teach you skills. And those skills you could use for the rest of your life, and everything was wonderful. In the world of exponential technologies, it doesn't really matter what skill you learn. It becomes obsolete every 5 to 7 years. That means by the time you graduate, you're closer to being obsolete than essentially being disrupted. You're being disrupted. That means education system now has to be really designed to teach you learning to learn. How do you constantly learn new set of technology? How do you apply interdisciplinary approach to solve problem?
Well, at the risk of going down a rabbit hole, you were telling me last night when I mentioned how I didn't care if my kids went to college or not, how you thought that was a bad idea and that my kids should go to college. But isn't that what college does? It just teaches you to sit there and learn rather than learn how to learn.
So I think you obviously missed the point I was trying to make.
I must have. I think I was too interested in my steak.
But the college is not necessarily about you go there to learn. College is the right age at that age when you are essentially being surrounded by the smartest people. So if you go to a good college, you are actually, they have already in the pre-selection of some of the smartest kids. So whether if you're at Stanford or MIT or Harvard or Princeton, you have essentially now surrounded yourself with some of the most brilliant people that you're able to exchange ideas, and you are in the close proximity. When you're in close proximity of smart people, like anything else, you have idea sex. And these ideas start to emerge, and you're constantly discussing them, and you're starting to grow as a person because now you're learning things that you never thought you would ever learn. So to me, going to college is that.
So it's more about the peer involvement. But you could just find like 10 really smart people and go travel the world with them.
But the difference is those 10 may not be the smartest people, and you're stuck with those 10. Whereas when you're in college, you have 100 or 1,000 people, and you can essentially move around.
Yeah,
and
force diversity, force variety. I get it. I see what you're saying. We kind of got derailed from the microbiome a little bit, but how did you get so interested in it?
So the second part of the thing was, as I was mentioning, the healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to look at the healthcare, it became pretty obvious that the way the current system is designed, the cost of the healthcare will continue to go up and will never be able to come down. And there were several reasons. Our healthcare system has become so big that it has become an organism in itself. And anytime something becomes an organism, the Darwinian theories start to take hold. The survival of the system is the only thing that matters. And it does not matter. The purpose is out the window. So today our healthcare system believes the patient is a nuisance that they have to deal with. And the stakeholders are really the insurance companies and the hospitals and the doctors. And those are the stakeholders they need to satisfy, and the pharmaceutical companies. And that's all they're focused on. Most of our healthcare dollars are being spent on chronic diseases, not on the infectious disease or acute care diseases anymore, which is what the healthcare system was designed in an era when people were dying from infectious diseases. And that's what it does really good. Now we have these chronic diseases that in fact are not episodic what the system was designed for. Healthcare system was you became sick episodically and it took care of
you. Right, you broke your leg, you go to the ER.
Yeah, and now you are chronically sick and the system wasn't designed for that. And here is the irony. The cure for the infectious diseases like antibiotics is largely responsible for the development of chronic diseases. So now coming back to the idea of, as I was reading all these scientific magazines, every single article in the healthcare, it became so obvious in the last 3 to 4 years that every chronic disease, whether it is an anxiety, whether it is a depression, whether it is your behavior or autism, or it is a Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's, it is obesity or diabetes, or whether it's a cancer or any type of gut issues, every one of these things are directly influenced by your microbiome. And the research after research after research, I'm reading and stuff and saying, microbiome is responsible for this. Microbiome is responsible for this. And when you go and talk to the doctor, they say, what is microbiome? They don't teach about microbiome in the medical school even today.
Really?
Even though all of the science...
Wait, when they're talking about like the digestion and the gut, how do you know?
I'm just telling you, if you go graduate from medical school today, they don't talk about the...
I know they barely talk about nutrition.
They barely talk about microbiome. They believe the human body the perfect healthy human body is devoid of any
bacteria. If you go to like Harvard Medical School, they're not telling you about the gut microbiome?
No. In fact, when you go to these guys and say, I might have a leaky gut, and they say, that's a voodoo. There is no such thing as leaky gut.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's kind of like a coverall term, like fibromyalgia or adrenal fatigue or something like that. But that shocks me that they're not actually studying the microbiome medical school.
That is absolutely, not only they don't teach you. So think about when you go to a doctor that graduated 10 years ago, you are about 25 years behind where the science is. So I decided that we are going to go out and get the latest technology. And if we can understand what is happening in your gut, since all of that is being responsible for all chronic diseases, and we go directly to the consumer, a person who is actually suffering, we can potentially create a world where chronic illness is optional. That means no one ever have to have a chronic disease unless you make a decision to be sick. And what I really think about, to me, that really goes to my core of who I am, is we finally have a chance to actually look at what is going on inside us and to be able to use the artificial intelligence to be able to understand what is causing what, and for once for all, remove all chronic illness from the face of this earth without using any pharmaceutical drugs, because food is the best drug the human body needs. Just understanding what is the right nutrition and food for you. The thing that is really being wrong in our society is that we go by these fad diets. So it's an Atkins diet one day, the paleo diet the next day, and then new diet comes along, ketogenic diet the next day. But the problem you have is there is no such thing as universal healthy diet. What is healthy for you may not be healthy for someone else. What's healthy for you today may not be healthy for you 6 months from now. That's why you have to constantly check your body and understand what is that your microbiomes are, diversity of microbiome. What kind of microbiomes do you have, and how do you keep the body in balance?
Okay, I want to talk about customizing the diet in a little bit, because I found that to be really interesting, because I've had that test done. I've sent you my poop. I've seen the dietary recommendations, and I've bounced it off a few different doctors and gut experts who were pretty shocked at the results in terms of the in-depth analysis of the bacteria. And by the way, for those of you listening in or those of you watching the Facebook Live right now, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Naveen, that's bengreenfieldfitness.com/NAVEEN, I'll put a video screenshot of what happened when I analyzed my own microbiome using Naveen's stuff. But I want to talk about why the microbiome is important, because there's some freaking fascinating stuff. So I was on the plane ride over yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but what they did with these fish, you know how they've shown that when you inject the blood of young mice into the blood of old mice, they actually can reverse aging in the old mice.
Yep.
Well, they did this with fish, but they didn't use blood.
Yep.
They used the bacteria from the gut microbiome of the old fish.
Yep.
And they injected that into the young fish, and it made these elderly fish like sprightly and young. Have you seen this?
You mean other way around?
No, they injected the young microbiome into the old microbiome. The elderly fish basically became like rock stars.
Yeah. So basically what's very interesting is, let me step back for a second, then I'm going to answer your question why it happens. Human DNA. We believe as humans, we are made of our own genes. Our genes are our destiny. What people don't realize is the human DNA only produces 19,000 genes. The earthworm has more genes than humans do.
Worm has more genes than human?
Mm-hmm. But what makes us such a complex thing is our gut microbiome produces somewhere between 5 million to 10 million genes. So think about that for a second. 19,000 genes being human genes, and 5 million to 10 million being the microbial genes.
The microbial genes being unhuman, right? Like those are just things living inside of
living
us. So
inside
those don't
us.
Count as our genes. They're like other genes living inside
us. They have us. Separate DNA, right? So the gene expression, if you think about it, they are the puppet masters. And very interestingly, Ben, there was a very recent research that showed that our microbiome directly communicates with our mitochondria. And mitochondria, as you may recall, is an ancient bacteria that became the organelle in our human cell. So our human cells have this bacteria that's called mitochondria. And it still has the same communication mechanism. So for human longevity, the microbiome is directly communicating with mitochondria. More importantly, the humans, when the human cells, when they communicate amongst themselves, they use exactly the same biochemical mechanism that our microbiome is using. So our microbiome actually is not only hijacking, but influencing every genes that are expressed in our human body. That means it's not the genes that you have that matter. So when you do the test like 23andMe, it doesn't tell you much because all that tells you is what could potentially happen. So for example, every DNA, they can see it. These are the possibilities.
So 23andMe is a salivary test. You send that in.
And you basically get what your genes are potentially could do.
Right.
But the problem with that is doesn't mean it will ever be expressed. So DNA simply tells you what is possible, and RNA tells
you. Right, it's like if I have a higher than normal risk of prostate cancer, then I may or may not get it, depending on whether I eat fresh tomatoes or whether wear really tight underwear or whatever might be like the match that would cause that dynamite to go off.
Yeah, the best way to look at this stuff really is.
I don't wear really tight underwear, by the way. It's pretty loose. I'm
TMI,
combat style.
TMI.
Right now. Yeah.
So if you look at the human DNA, you look at your hair, you look at your lung, you look at your tooth, and you look at your skin. They all have the same DNA. What makes them look so different if it's the same DNA? It's the things that are being expressed. So epigenetically, what expresses changes the same DNA into hair, tooth, skin, or lung, or heart. So imagine that. So that means what matters is what's being expressed, not what it is. You don't want a tooth growing on your head, right?
Right.
Right? Right. So the point is, DNA really doesn't do much. What microbiomes do is they control epigenetically what genes are being expressed. So if you eat the right type of diet for your microbiome, they will regulate your genes to not to express certain things that may potentially could have caused many of these chronic diseases. So for example, if you are diabetic, it's not that your body is diabetic. It is your microbiome are controlling what genes are being expressed.
Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor. All right, folks. Clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben.
You were showing me this study last night, how your microbiome is associated with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
Like based on the bacterial diversity in your gut, you can make yourself more or less susceptible to fluctuations in blood sugar.
Yes.
I actually wanted to ask you this, and somebody asked this on Facebook when I put on Facebook I was going to interview you. Are you familiar with the guy, what's his name, the Wiseman Institute?
Yes.
Aaron Seagal's lab at the Wiseman Institute.
Yeah.
And Rob Wolf talks about this in his book Wired to Eat, about how some people have a very pronounced glycemic response to like cookies and bananas, and then some people's blood sugar doesn't go up at all. And what they're studying at this Wiseman Institute is how the microbial composition in the gut of humans can affect their response to actual foods.
Let me just go step for 1 second here.
Okay.
The way people look at the microbial composition is very wrong, or they're not getting the full picture, right? So today, many of the people who are watching this say, oh, microbiome, I know it. I already got the microbiome test done. What they don't realize is the test they have gotten done was a complete waste of money.
So like what test? Like, give me an example.
So, for example, if you went to UBiome, you're basically...
Are you talking about like the American Gut Project,
UBiome? Okay. They're basically selling you snake oil. So there is really nothing you get from them. And here's why. What they use for a technology is called 16S sequencing.
You better be careful what you say, dude. I've met Jeff Leach from the American Gut Project, and he went and hung himself upside down and injected the poop of a warrior into his backside. So he's pretty badass. He might come after you.
So let me tell you one thing is that what technologically is a snake oil, because what they do is they use something called 16S sequencing.
Okay.
What 16S is a fraction of a gene that only exists only in bacteria. And a portion of the gene can tell you what genus this bacteria belongs to, right? So you're not only, so depending on the primers you use, you can get about 50 to 70% of bacteria at a genus level, right?
Okay.
And you cannot see any viruses. You cannot see yeast, fungus, or mold. And even the bacteria at a genus level, it just tells you nothing, because at genus level, we are all mammals. So we are men, we could be dogs, we could be rats. And if you ask a woman, they will say, you know what? All men are dogs anyway, so what difference does it really make? But we all can agree, not all men are dogs, right?
Gotcha. So basically what they're doing is they're saying, hey, this is a fruit or this is a vegetable, but they're not telling you whether the fruit is an apple or a pear or an orange or a berry.
So,
or they're not telling you whether the vegetable is a cucumber or a green bean.
So genus level, we are mammals. Then we say at a species level, we are Homo sapiens. At a strain level, you are Ben, I am Naveen, you are a fitness guy, I am a space junkie.
Interesting. So that's called 16S sequencing.
What they do.
That's what they do.
What we do is something called metatranscriptomics. And metatranscriptomics, if you go to viome.com, that's V as in Victor, IOME.com/our science, you can see the difference between 16S and metatranscriptomics. Metatranscriptomics, Ben, we look at RNA. So the thing is that I was going to tell you, the Wiseman Institute, they are really smart people. Don't get me wrong. But what they're doing is they're looking at the DNA. They're looking at metagenomics. They're looking at the DNA of the microbes. And the problem you run into with the DNA of the microbes are two things. Number one, you see every time you eat any food, you see the plant DNA or the fish or the steak you ate, their DNA coming in because they're all dead. So DNA sees all the dead stuff. When you look at the RNA, you're only looking at things that are alive and replicating. So when we look at RNA, we're only seeing the things that are actually alive and replicating.
Interesting.
And the second part is the most important part, which is what, how active these things are. And the third part is, what is it they are doing? What are they producing? Are they producing short-chain fatty acid? Are they producing vitamin K? Are they producing TAM? Are they producing TCA? So we focus on what is actually going on, not who they are, how active they are, and what are they doing. And here is the thing that most people don't realize. The same organism may do one thing in my gut, and depending on the other organism in your gut, it may do something completely different. Just like human beings, Ben, you and I will act very differently depending on whose company we are in. If somebody's in my company, they're calm and quiet, and somebody's in Ben's company, they're all partying. They're party time.
Yeah, that's right. Or we're going to ride a bike at 4:30 in the morning while you're sitting in bed reading Twitter. Now, what about Genova, like these three-day gut panels that you do?
Yeah.
Is that just DNA too?
So GN, actually, some of these labs...
Because I do that test a lot myself.
So what they do is actually even worse. Many of these labs, really? All they do is culture. So you can even imagine when they're culturing your poop, you only can see the bacteria that grow in oxygen. And that means all the anaerobic stuff you don't even see anymore. So coming back to thing, what we do at Viome, not only we see every strain of every bacteria, 100%, we see every virus, and there are three types of viruses. They could be DNA virus, they could be RNA virus, or they could be phages. And these phages are, Ben, as you may know, only infect. So bacteria phages, they only infect bacteria and not the humans. And they're really important because they are not controlling these bacteria through these viruses. And then we look at the yeast and the fungus and the mold. And as you already know, the microbiota, which is a fungal community, is just as important as the bacteria. And in fact, what we are finding...
So microbiota would be the fungus.
Fungal communities.
Right? Yeah.
And they are just as important as our bacteria. In fact, many of these fungal communities are so good for our health because they actually survive for a long time. Other thing that's really interesting is viruses. Many of these viruses are actually key to our health. The more we are finding these RNA viruses, for example, gluten sensitivity. There was a research came out about a month ago. There's a virus called reovirus. It's an RNA virus.
Okay.
When it is active and when you eat gluten, the body creates the antibodies. If the virus is not active or not there, then you can eat the gluten all day.
So you could test your gut. You could send a poop sample into like Viome, and you could actually see whether or not you possess that gluten sensitivity.
Yeah. In fact, we can also look at your microbiome and actually predict how much workout you're doing by looking at the TCA.
No, tell me how this is going to work.
So seriously,
you can predict how much I want to work out. You can predict how much I'm actually working out.
How much you're working out.
I didn't see this on my results. Tell me about this.
Yeah,
I want to know. Have you seen my results, by the way?
I have.
Okay, fill me in on this. Fill me in on how this works.
This is something we didn't tell you because we are still actually evaluating all the functional analysis part of what these microbes are doing. And we looked at this pathway, which is extremely active in people who are doing a lot of aerobic exercise. So just in case you're wondering, of all the people that we have tested, you were in the 96th percentile
that is
on aerobic.
Interesting. And what are you looking at again to see
that? If functional TCA level, the PCA pathway is how active.
What are you saying? The TCA level?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. TCA being part of the Krebs cycle. Mm-hmm. Wow, you could actually test that via the poop.
Yeah, and
amazing.
Guess what? I was in 3 percentile, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. We'll have to get you out to yoga tomorrow morning. You know, tomorrow morning we're going to go do, me and your wife are going to go do the sculpting yoga.
Yeah,
with the dumbbells.
I'm going to get the 12.
She's talking me into putting my tight pants on and going to do yoga with dumbbells.
I'm going to do a 12-pack ab, baby.
Gwyneth Paltrow style, baby. Okay, so I want to talk about another couple of things when it comes to the gut, because we talked about diabetes, and we talked about a little bit before we even started recording about arthritis, because we had that question come in via Facebook. You were showing me a study last night about anxiety and stress, like a brand new study that came out yesterday.
Yeah, so it's very interesting is that how microbiome is actually using the same chemical, biochemical language and hijacking the microRNA. So in fact, they did the study on animals where they look at the communication between amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. So as you know, the amygdala is the center of really looking for the fear of what could be going on. And prefrontal cortex is really looking logically and executive decision making, right? The communication between the two is done through microRNA. And these microRNA are actually modulated and controlled by our microbiome. And that was very fascinating, is that when they took in the rats, they removed the microbiome and these microRNA just disappeared. The microRNA are only effective in communication when you actually have the good microbiome.
So they immunized these rats with, yes, a specific vaccination that removed the bacteria responsible for producing anxiety and, yes, stress. And just think if you could do that to a soldier on the, yeah, field of battle. Right, you could actually give them a specific strain that would render them unsusceptible to stress or anxiety.
There are a lot of things we're going to learn, and in fact, it's becoming very clear.
Not that I endorse using soldiers as guinea pigs, but I'm just throwing that out there.
What we are actually finding is that you'll be able to genetically modify your microbiome and modulate almost every single disease.
Wait, how could you genetically modify your microbiome?
So basically the two ways.
Because that's way different than just like taking a specific probiotic strain.
So one of the things when I say genetically modify the microbiome, I don't mean the individual microbes. What I mean is combining the right set of ecosystem. That means increasing the volume and activities of some microbes and reducing the activities of the other microbes.
How do you, right, do that?
And so this is another thing that we are currently working on. Our technology came out of Los Alamos National Lab, where they had designed it for the national security. So our Los Alamos National Lab has been working on this technology for 10 years. Hundreds, okay, of millions of dollars were spent on understanding what is going on inside people. Now you wonder, why would they be spending all this money to understand your gut? As you can imagine, Los Alamos National Lab is famous for developing
aliens,
atomic bombs.
That's right. That was close.
Right, close enough. Right, atomic bomb is pretty alien.
Yeah.
Now they were looking at some of the next set of security things in the bioweapons, and they needed to know if a bad actor were to get hold of something, how would they know what is going on? And that's why they developed this amazing technology, so they can very quickly understand what is going on inside the human body. And we at Viome got the exclusive worldwide license to bring that technology to the market directly to the consumers.
Just like buy that from Los Alamos? So with all your big moon money?
We licensed that technology and we spent close to $21 million already. Wow. So we raised $21 million for Viome.
That's why you guys are so far ahead of the curve, is because you've been able to spend all this money on this technology.
And this technology is so far ahead of anything.
Plus you read Twitter a lot.
I mean, seriously, this technology is so far ahead of anything in the marketplace. We are, wow, at least 5 years ahead of anybody in, wow, understanding what is going on. So to answer your question, they also have another technology that allows you to come up with a cocktail of these microorganisms that feed on each other, and you can package them together because they go symbiotically together and they form a symbiotic relationship with everything else in the gut, and they can be antagonistic to some things so you can reduce them and symbiotic to others so they can increase them. And then using the right site of diet to essentially increase the prebiotic, to increase the activity of the ones that you already have. So for example, this bacteria called Akkermansia. Akkermansia is an amazingly great thing. It is now, you essentially, people who are thin and people who are not diabetic have very high activity of Akkermansia.
Okay.
I have Akkermansia.
So Akkermansia would be a good one.
Good one.
Okay.
So I have Akkermansia, but my activity of Akkermansia is only 0.11%.
Slacker,
right? So now I changed my diet and I'm going to be testing it next week again.
So you change your diet based on, so when I log into my Viome results, yeah, on the app or on the website, yeah, I can see the foods I'm supposed to eat and the foods I'm not supposed to eat, yeah, based on my microbiome. And you did the same thing, and all you did was,
except that for Akkermansia, there is a specific thing like wheat bran.
Uh-huh.
And you can buy the wheat bran at any of the, like Amazon, I bought Bob's, uh-huh, unprocessed wheat bran.
Right.
And when you eat the wheat bran, it feeds these Akkermansia and it makes them really active. So there was a research that was on Twitter I saw about a month ago. I said, I got that Akkermansia. I want to increase it. And I start eating.
What about taking like a probiotic strain that is specific to the bacteria
that you want
that you're deficient in? Because that's something I saw. And again, like if you guys go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Naveen, N-A-V-E-E-N, you'll see this video of my results. And there's like bacteria. It's kind of crazy. Like you see one strain that I shouldn't have had inside me, right? Like this is a strain you only get in these crazy hot tropical climates. That, and I used to, you know, I raced for 10 years in triathlon all over the globe, swimming in all these crazy fresh waters and coming back with these strange parasites. And I had some kind of a bacteria in my stomach that you don't see in Western people at all. But then I had other things that were deficient. And I actually brought my results to a person who's worked with me on my gut. And they helped me choose specific probiotic strains to replace the strains that were deficient or that were missing in my diet. So can you do that? Can you actually, I want to get your thoughts on that. Like, could you just take your Viome results and select like a customized probiotic regimen for you?
First of all, today there are just there are only 15 strains of bacteria that all probiotics have. To large extent, there is not much of a diversity because everyone is selling the same sets of strains of bacteria. I would say some probiotics are good, but I would say majority of them are absolutely useless because by the time they get in your stomach, most bacteria opens up and they die in your stomach. So by the time they get to the colon, the large intestine, they're all dead.
But some of them are like heat stable or spore forming, right?
That's my point. Some good probiotics may actually survive. But the number that
survive, not the ones you get at Walmart.
And the ones that, even the ones survive are substantially lower number than what you would normally. So if you take billions of these strains, you're not going to get billions of strains actually surviving, right? The thing that's very interesting is I'm surprised that not many people are doing it is wrapping up these things in a fiber, because fiber cannot be digested by the human stomach and the acid. The fiber goes directly to the large intestine and the microbes eat these fibers.
Wrapping up in a fiber, how would you do that?
Yeah, so essentially they're taking the stuff and have the outside of the probiotic capsule be fiber.
Okay, like a cellulose or an inulin or something like that?
Yes. And you keep them there, and as soon as the microbes start to eat the fiber, the payload opens up, and you're right there.
Oh, wow.
Right? So it essentially becomes a delivery mechanism for delivering
these. And those exist now?
I don't know. I haven't seen them, honestly, and I've been thinking of filing the patent on it myself because I really think somebody should do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to beat you to it.
Yeah. Go do it. I mean, you have to remember that my philosophy is I want the problem solved. It doesn't have to be me. And we need every one of us to come together to make chronic illness an option. So my request here is everyone who's listening to it, you can not only help yourself become healthy. The artificial intelligence needs about 1 million people to be able to understand what causes the diabetes, what causes the obesity, what causes the arthritis or anxiety or depression or, eczema or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. We need 1 million people. And I can't do it myself. I need as many people to go out and really be an ambassador. If you believe a cause of removing the chronic illness from the face of this earth is a worthwhile cause, I want everyone listening to it to talk to their neighbors, to post it, share it, everyone to know. It is possible if we all come together and get 1 million people to contribute the information to the AI, we will find exactly what needs to be done so that humanity will one day will not have any chronic diseases. Imagine if anyone suffering from cancer or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or obesity or diabetes. That's not something anyone wants.
One way to do that is we got to take Monsanto out of business because of glyphosate. I know you were in the GMO Revealed documentary. By the way, if you guys haven't seen that, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/GMO. It will blow your mind. This glyphosate documentary and GMO documentary. What you were in that documentary, right?
I think Jeff Hayes done an amazing job of bringing that thing to the
Patrick Gentempo and Jeff Hayes, two buddies of mine. They make these amazing documentaries. And you were in video number 9.
No, I'm in video number 3.
Video number 3 of GMO's Reveal. What did you talk about?
So I talked about actually is that how that glyphosate is killing the microbiome. So just like they kill the organism, like it's a Roundup, right? It kills everything. It's killing the microbiome. And when you kill the microbiome and change the diversity of your gut, it essentially changes the body. So when you're eating all of this junk, that GMO junk, it fundamentally changes the ecosystem of your body. So just remember, you are not alone. You are more microbial with a little bit of human RNA mixed into it. But from the nature's perspective, we all are a beautiful container for these microbes.
So that's one reason that I was telling you that last night at dinner, my kids take this stuff called Restore. It's like lignite made by this super smart triple board certified physician, Dr. Zach Bush, who I had on the show. And
but he's know,
again,
guy.
Like we were talking
he's
about, I don't tell my kids what supplements to take, but I have the shelf in the refrigerator, right? And I tell them, hey, vitamin D and vitamin K make your bone and your teeth stronger and help you to grow and help you to maintain bone density as you
need them
age.
Together.
Yeah, you got to take vitamin D and vitamin K together and magnesium and vitamin A all at the same time. And so I keep the little dropper bottle of the, you know, the Thorne vitamin D, vitamin K blend in the bottom of the refrigerator. And they have the option to take that. And they do every day before they brush their teeth. Same thing with this stuff that protects their stomachs against glyphosate. We don't eat a lot of GMO based food, but this glyphosate is it's
everywhere.
You'll see this in the documentary. It's everywhere. Even if you like have an organic vegetable garden.
This weekend is free to watch. For all 9 episodes are free to watch this weekend.
Yeah. If you're watching the Facebook Live right now, you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/GMO. And watch this whole thing. I actually have, thanks to you, Naveen, a treadmill back in my hotel room. And I'm going to be watching it this afternoon while I'm working out.
Watch the episode 3 after 141, and you'll be watching me for 45 minutes.
Okay, cool. That was nuts, by the way, when I walked. You know I'm into exercise because you booked me a hotel room here, and I walked in, and there's a treadmill and an exercise ball and a set of dumbbells just sitting there next to my bed. Anyways, though, so my kids take this shot. It like before every meal they take, just one shot of this stuff to protect their stomachs against glyphosate, because that's something that you have to realize. Like if you're doing the probiotic or even the probiotic with the fiber and the cellulose, or you're doing your yogurt and your kimchi and your sauerkraut, a lot of that is for naught.
Kombucha.
Yeah. And your kombucha, of course. Yeah. Make sure you get the stuff chock full of sugar from Whole Foods. Actually, if you,
I'm
going to derail us just slightly.
Do you make it at home?
Well, we make our own kombucha.
Yeah, so that's
and that's like one of the few cocktails that I have at home is I take kombucha and I'll put a little bit of ice, a little bit of vodka, and a little bit of sea salt in there and have that as a cocktail. But then I also, if I'm traveling and I want like a cocktail in my hotel room or whatever, not to make myself sound like an alcoholic, I mix sake and kombucha, half and half sake and kombucha. And
sake
it's amazing.
Is not bad. Sake that fermented.
Too much alcohol can actually kill your gut bacteria, but a little bit. Yeah, it's got a nice little fermented effect. So anyways, though, the deal is if you're eating all these fermented foods, you if you're getting glyphosate at the same time, you're going to negate a lot of the effects. So that's something important to realize. So pay attention to that, too. Listen to that podcast that I did with Zach Bush. So and also watch that GMO Revealed documentary. Naveen, you've got your finger on the pulse of the next big thing in healthcare and the next big thing in technology. So with all these different magazines you're following on Twitter and all these books that you're reading, you know, whether it's the next step in the human gut and the microbiome or whether it's something else, what are the next things coming down the pipeline or the next thing coming down the pipeline?
So I would tell you, I mean, obviously the two things that I believe are going to be the next two biggest thing in terms of technology. One is going to be CRISPR, the genetic editing in vivo. That means you'll be able to modify your own genes right in vivo.
They're doing that in China. Speaking of alcohol, they're actually, you know, because Asians can't make alcohol dehydrogenase very well. So they're using CRISPR technology, some of these parents, to allow the way that this article I read last week quoted, it said to allow their sons to be able to drink more alcohol using CRISPR technology on embryos to basically alter that gene and allow them to produce alcohol dehydrogenase.
Well, you know, of all the things I could do, that probably wouldn't be one of them.
No,
but yeah, it's not a great application.
That's the one that was sexy for the news headlines, though.
But my point is that is going to be one of the most disruptive technology of our time. The second biggest thing is going to be really the humanity becoming the multiplanetary society. That means in our lifetime, you will find that people will be living on the moon, Mars, and Europa, Titan, and beyond. And that will fundamentally change the humanity as we know it, because it's for the first time you will find that not all of us are, in fact, confined to a single spacecraft called planet Earth. And if something were to happen, that we all will die. right? We'll all become dinosaurs. And if you can really listen to the dinosaurs rolling in their graves, they're all probably thinking if they had one good entrepreneurial dinosaur, they'll still be roaming in the Mars and the moon and beyond, right? So the fact is we have a chance to protect this humanity from getting destroyed either by a large asteroid, what happened to dinosaurs, or we humans are pretty capable of destroying it ourselves. So let's at least find that humans could live in other places so we don't, as a humanity, as a species, completely die down.
That's crazy. You think we'll do that before we do things like live underwater in the ocean? Because a lot of people say, why the hell are we going to moon and to the Mars when we have all this undiscovered territory here on planet Earth?
If something were to happen to this spacecraft, it doesn't matter where you are on this spacecraft is gone, right? Uh-huh. So you want to be getting off this spacecraft and be on multiple spacecrafts, right?
Yeah.
So that's one. And second thing is, there is abundance. There is abundance of land. There is abundance of water. There is abundance of energy in space. You look up, you see nothing but abundance. We are a tiny pale blue dot just in our own galaxy. There are billions of galaxies in our universe, and there are billions of universes in this multiverse. So where is the scarcity of land? And we fight over land, we fight over water, we fight over energy. Imagine, by becoming a multi-planetary society, we could bring world peace.
It's amazing. Amazing. All right.
And then I would say the education will be next, by using the artificial intelligence and by using the personalization, same thing what we're doing in healthcare. One day we will be able to, in fact, not only augment the human brain, we actually will be connected. Our brains are going to be connected to the cloud. And people say, I will never allow that. But it's happening so slowly already.
It is. Right. Man, that book I was telling you about at dinner last night, Beyond Human, by Eve Harold, she talks about that in the book, brain transplantations, brain pacemakers, and uploading your brain to the cloud.
But it's already happening right now. So people talk about uploading brain to the cloud and say that we will never do that. But guess what? You're already doing it, Ben. I used to remember the phone numbers. You know where my phone numbers are? On the cloud.
On the pod, yep.
And we use the iPhone to get to them. Information. I don't remember when the Abraham Lincoln was born. I don't have to. Every fact, every information, you know where it resides? On the cloud. And I access it through the iPhone. Guess what happened? That was the first part, was the memory augmentation. Now imagine what we are doing. We're starting to give up our prefrontal cortex, which is a decision making and executive decision making is all gone. Have you ever used Google Maps?
Oh, yeah.
Guess what happens when it tells you turn left in the next, and even though you know you should be going, you say, Google tells me I'm going to go left, there is some traffic, I'm going left.
That's why the New York cab drivers have enlarged cortices in areas of their brain responsible for direction.
But guess what's happening? Now we've given up the decision making. We simply trust the AI.
But that does free us up to enlarge our brains and to learn in other areas.
That's my point, is that now we are already augmenting our decision making. And soon we'll be augmenting our neocortex and saying, you know, so think about what happened to us as Homo sapiens. We developed a tiny bit more neocortex, our prefrontal cortex. Us and chimps, that's really the biggest difference was we got this additional prefrontal neocortex. That gave us the tremendous advantage to become on the top of the food chain. Imagine if we can extend our neocortex substantially more by using the cloud, and the people who are the first few ones to be able to have that neocortex, how would we treat other humans? Wouldn't that be same as how we treat other animals?
It's crazy. It's crazy, dude. Uploading our brains to the cloud. You're not really thinking about it that way, but it's so true.
It is going to happen. Yeah. I mean, it is. So you're asking me where things are going to be headed? People able to, instead of using the language to communicate, what if our brains could communicate? What if that we could be teleported? And that's already happening, the teleportation, to some extent. Today, you are able to sequence a virus or a bacteria in one end, send it over the email, and you can do a DNA synthesis on the other end. And you can now have a life that was exactly on this side being produced on the other side.
By simply sending the sequence for the RNA and DNA electronically, you can reproduce that DNA. That's right. You could even like print it out with like a 3D printer.
Absolutely. Dude. I'm not kidding you.
Nuts.
Man. And by the way, other things that I'm really absolutely sure will happen in the next 10, 15 years, us able to print our own organs using our own stem cells, whether coming from our skin. So you can convert the skin cell into the iPS cells,
Yep.
And iPS cells can be converted into any organs. So we'll
That's already happening to a certain extent. They're printing kidneys, printing ears.
But not quite yet, but they're going to be doing the heart. So imagine your heart, you have nanobots in your body that are supplying oxygen, and they're constantly monitoring every part of your body and repairing it. So basically it's a constant maintenance that's happening in your body. It finds your heart suddenly stops working.
Dude, you got to read the book Silo by Hugh Howey.
Oh, so this
is the whole world gets wiped out by nanobots.
So you essentially start, you call your doc, or it calls the doc and say, hey, doc, Ben's heart has stopped working. He's taking a shower right now. Can you start printing his heart? He'll be there in a couple of hours. Right? And you go there, you get a new heart, and you're good to go. Or, in fact, the nanobots itself may be starting to collect the stem cells and start printing the heart inside and repairing the heart.
This is going to freak out a lot of people, but I think it's pretty cool stuff.
But I mean, you could start.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
What I was going to say was that if you are interested, I wrote a ebook called Moonshots. And if you just Google Naveen Jain Moonshots,
I'll link to it. I'll pull it up here and I'll put it in the show notes.
And it talks about what the life is going to be in 2050. And it talks about disrupting your own mindset. How are you going to create a mindset of abundance? How do you, as a non-expert, start to disrupt everything? And it's a free ebook, and I think you'll really enjoy
it. Where do you get it?
It's a Technica.
Okay, here we go. Moonshot, the next gen. What is it? The next gen of what?
Click on this.
Oh, that one. Okay, cool. All right. Oh, I see it. Publishizer.com. Okay, cool. I'll find it, and I'll link to it in the show notes for you guys.
No, not this one. No,
okay.
That's the wrong one.
All right. He's going to pull it up here real quick. So for those of you listening in, we're doing a little bit of a search here for you. Okay, Moonshots with Naveen Jain.
Technica Curiosa.
Technica Curiosa is the website.
And if you scroll down this article,
Oh, perfect. There it is. Okay, sweet.
Download.
Oh, totally free.
So just download.
Awesome.
So download it and put it on your website.
Amazing.
So you can download the thing and put it on your website for people to see it.
Okay, cool. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Naveen and I'll download this. Now, I know a lot of you guys want to get tested. You guys have a big wait list for Viome right now.
We do.
Because you've been all over the freaking place. You've been like every podcast. Well, not every podcast. I'm gonna help you get on some more podcasts.
Yes.
This is important stuff. But the deal is here's the value for you guys by listening to this podcast, what you get. So there's a big wait list to actually get tested because there's a certain amount of scalability to this actual testing that you guys are able to do. So we've got a code that you can use. You just enter this in. It's in the code section when you go to
Viome. It's called priority code.
Okay, priority code. So you go to Viome.com, just like it sounds, Viome.com.
Viome.
Sorry, I'm still waking up, I guess. Viome.com. And you use the code. Here's the code, fitness. So use the code fitness. That will get you moved to the front of the wait list so that Naveen can look at your poop sooner.
And by the way, you can do Viome.com
rather than later.
/fitness also.
Okay, or you just go to Viome.com/fitness. Either one works. It'll tell you what foods you're supposed to eat. It'll tell you what bacteria you have, what bacteria you don't have, how much you work out, pretty much everything you'd ever want to know. And the cool thing is, A, you can get repeat testing or just one-time testing. B, everything you guys build out in the future from customized probiotic supplements to anything else, you guys get access to in that app. Yep. So it's constantly updating. Like I keep logging into the app and there's new stuff in there every time I log in.
Yep.
So it's super cool. Viome.com/fitness. Or just go to Viome.com and use the code fitness when you get it. How much does it cost to get your entire microbiome sequence?
So it's not only just the complete metatranscriptome, complete metabolic flexibility. So we have a gut intelligence test and we have a metabolic intelligence test and an AI-driven coach as an app. So you have iPhone or Android, you get an app that's constantly working with you every time. We charge $595 for two tests. So think about it, under $300 per test. And we test you every 6 months, $595 per year, and you get tested two times per year. So $300 per test.
Perfect. Cool. I want to check the Facebook page here to make sure we don't have any other little questions. Looks like we got to most of them. Sweet. Good job.
Thanks, Ben.
Quick click here. Awesome. Naveen. Dude, you're brilliant, you're interesting, you're fascinating. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Really appreciate it.
All right, folks. I'm Ben Greenfield, along with Naveen Jain.
I'm Naveen Jain.
Naveen Jain. BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Naveen, N-A-V-E-E-N, is where the show notes reside. Go grab them. Go get your microbiome sequenced. It's going to be one of the most fascinating tests you've ever done. Thanks for listening.
been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.